You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Now, the myth, the legend, the lady from Ladysmith, circling the globe, but really traveling throughout Wisconsin. No, she is Danielle Fairman.
Are you in this room right now? What is happening?
What's going on, Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco?
It's the most perfect day out. The sun is shining. I turned my air conditioning on last night.
What?
Why would you do that?
Because it was lunacy. It was lunacy, so humid. I tell
you, my dad would be so angry with you, but right. Dad, so you don't have to worry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is a fun conversation.
It's okay to laugh. He would have laughed at that joke. But I tell you, that man had the craziest, like, he was so psychotic about lights on in the house.
Oh.
He had his dilemma was that he didn't like us watching TV because it used energy. But when we watched the TV, it would heat up the thermostat, giving a false sense of how warm it was in the room. And he loved that because then the room would be freezing. He wouldn't have to pay for heat. So he'd let us watch TV in the winter because then it would keep the heating bill down. That's how psychotic he is.
That seems like a lot to monitor.
Wow. Oh, you have no idea.
Seem like a lot.
He was a little on the OCD side, but he loved us very much and he paid the bills. And if we ever screwed around, he'd say, oh, I'm going to run away, Dad. He'd say, well, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Yep.
Anyway.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So here's to my dad.
Cheers.
He's been gone for a little while now, but we miss old Jim. Ellie Lawton is here, a chef, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, the certified French chef, award-winning chef, who I'm so excited. You are bringing food almost every week now, Ellie.
Yeah, you guys get to use me and abuse me.
Sure do. You know what? I love it.
Look, I'll tell you what.
I had to wear my bibs tonight because I'm getting so fat.
What? Those bibs look fantastic, though. I need those bibs.
Well, they are fantastic.
I love them. I will be
honest. They're not camo. They're leopard print.
I know, but you can hunt
them.
They
look very camo from a distance.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'll wear them turkey hunting.
And they're black and brown. Yeah, they look very
camo. When is your turkey season?
Oh, it's starting.
Like this week.
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Mine starts tomorrow too. Kretschmer, Mike Kretschmer's here, the Nye's guy from Nye's Meats.
He's so nice.
We do love, and you know, we got a certified chef here. We got a meat guy here. We're going to talk about food today, but we're also going to talk about the middle of turkey. We're dead smack in the middle of the turkey season. We're on the Saturday right now of the third season. There are 6 weeks, and we're going to talk a little bit about what turkeys do, but really we're going to talk about how they taste. And we're going to talk today about something really great to have on the side of your turkey dinner that is apropos that you can take from the field to the table. And I'm going to bet you this. I will bet you, Danielle.
What are you going to bet?
If you didn't already know,
oh,
would you have ever guessed when I said we're going to forage something and eat it tonight? Would you have guessed what we're going
to eat? I would love to say no to build the suspense, but yes.
You would have guessed this? Don't say it.
Well, I would have guessed that's what we were having.
Okay, yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh, then yes. I did not think I could forage pretty much anything right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
I was wrong.
We're having a fantastic side dish for your turkey dinner, for your wild turkey dinner or store purchased turkey dinner. And Chef Ellie Lawton's going to talk about that. We're going to talk about meat with Mike, the nice guy. But more than that, we're going to go through our weekly Wiscos. And then we're going to talk to Mike, who just concluded his turkey season. Aww. He was season two. So yeah.
Don't You're give smiling.
It away. Danielle goes, oh.
No. I didn't give anything away. I'm so fast. Yeah.
I just want to let everyone know that Danielle is fully recovered from her little illness she had, and she's in rare form.
I am in rare form.
We're really excited about this.
All 2 weeks of energy just today.
I can feel it. I can feel it from across the room.
We were doing the show 2 weeks ago, and Danielle called me the day before the show, and she basically said,
yep.
And I said, you're not coming tomorrow. She's like, well, I'm not feeling so well. I said, stay away. People who have
you
this,
did. You definitely did.
Honestly, yes. I love you, Danielle. Do a great job. The show's not the same without you, but don't you be bringing that.
Yeah, we're all rubbing elbows in here.
And we got Jacob in the fishbowl helping us out. Always appreciate that. Cannot wait to get him out into the field with us. Something we do on Raised in Wisco, something we love to do, is take new hunters out with us. Let them have those experiences. And it, nothing makes me more happy than seeing somebody fall in love with the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to do our weekly Wiscos, and then I want to talk specifically to Mike for a little while, because Mike and I, Mike's one of the first people who ever took me hunting, if you know that. Yes, I mean, he thinks he's younger than me.
But, I don't think I feel younger than you, though.
No,
wait a minute.
Let's get some numbers on the table here.
I feel like you guys are exactly the same age.
Danielle and I are the same age, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so Danielle and you are actually the same age, I think. Yeah.
So you're saying you're not?
I am not the same age as Mike.
No. Can we
do we look the same age?
You look the same age.
I do.
Yes.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Look at this baby face.
He does have a baby face. I think Mike is younger than me.
What do you think, Ellie?
Ooh.
I feel like everyone listening needs to go to Facebook and watch this video. So we need to get you guys side by side.
I think Mike without facial hair, like, naturally, like, you have a baby face.
Yeah. A little baby face. Yeah,
so does my dad. My dad can't grow a beard, and he's way older than me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I do find it an irony that you can grow a beard, but you don't grow one.
I like the moose or the turkey. It grows right here.
You grow.
What?
If I let this grow, I could probably break this and it wouldn't grow
and
anywhere.
You have like a turkey beard.
Like a turkey beard.
Aww, like a moose beard. From,
that's nice.
I can totally try that. No, turkey season absolutely. Next year. So what you're telling me is you cannot grow hair on your face or your head.
Yeah. That's part of our, that's part of the thing here. Yeah, right. I'm just going to half fish people again. We did this once already. So I missed you guys the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't remember what a hatfish is, that's where a gentleman may want to date a young lady under the false pretenses that he may have something under his cap.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't.
Does not.
There's beard fish, too.
Beard fish.
Oh, yeah. Have you not
right
seen
after
it?
No Shave November for the dudes?
Yeah, like men who have full beards. They look totally different, obviously. Yeah. And then like you meet someone, start dating them or whatever, and then they shave and you're like,
who are you?
Oh my goodness, that's a beard fish.
Really? Yeah. Oh, so what's better? What's better?
Like, I would
I'm gonna ask the ladies, what's better?
Beard?
100%.
Sorry. I love
That's
you, man.
Okay. Well,
I love you, man.
No. Hey,
they've got, I think they have, like, they have toupees. I think they have beard pays.
The last kind of, for the gentleman listening, the last kind of fish is called the lady crazy fish.
What's that?
Where we're all sweet and innocent right away.
Yeah, we're super sweet at the beginning. Then we get a little crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. Every
time.
Crazy fish.
I have a beard fish.
Hey.
I eat a screaming Sicilian pizza, and then I just take the thing off the
thing
box,
on.
And then I got a mustache.
Can you please wear that next time?
Okay. No, it tickles your nose hairs too much. It's just
like, I'm glad to hear you can grow nose hairs.
Yeah.
So basically,
maybe you can remove some and put them on your beard.
You're getting out of hand.
Okay. I don't think it would take a while for guys to realize the crazy fish video. That was right out.
Okay,
there.
But you know what? My cooking makes up for it like
it
a thousand times.
You know
it
what?
I've been told.
I will yield to that. I will definitely yield to that. Well, hey, Mike.
What's my excuse?
Girl, I don't know. You can operate heavy equipment. That's cool.
You know what?
That's fun.
I'll tell you what. That is pretty badass to be able to be a heavy equipment operator, Danielle. And
yeah.
I would just like to I would like to see anybody try to boss Danielle around.
Me? No.
I don't want to be around when
Oh, Lordy.
I wouldn't.
I have a very sturdy backbone.
I would not mess with your backhoe. I'll tell you that. That would be trouble.
You wouldn't mess with our crazy fish.
Nope.
You know, oddly, that was one of my nicknames in college.
Crazy fish?
Crazy
oh.
crayfish, crazy fish, crayfish, crayfish, crawdad, clayfish, Jolvis, Elvis.
Wow. Yeah,
that's pushing.
I've had a lot of crazy ones too.
Danielle. Danielle's laughing so hard she's moving the mic away from her mouth.
Because I don't want to blow eardrums of everyone listening.
He's got a compressor on.
Everyone will be turning the radio up and down.
You know, what is happening?
I know that this is good content because Noah Morris from Morris Original, who does our production here in the Concord Fishbowl WFSH, is even laughing. And that takes a lot to get him laughing. Tell me your weekly Wisco as quick as you can, Mike.
I would say just when you think something's predictable, it's not.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Yeah. That means he was in the turkey woods and you got a key as to what probably happened while he was. Danielle, go.
Bass season, first bass fishing tournament was this past week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I did not win, but I still won it.
You catch fish?
No.
It's good.
Ellie May, weekly Wisco.
Turkey scouting, watching the woods, wake up and go to bed. It was amazing. I watched a ton of raccoons and had a great time.
Ooh, did you get hungry?
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I was like, oh, you guys are so cute, but so delicious.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think
there was also a big turtle. There were deer, a ton of ducks, geese. So I had like a wilderness stew recipe going on in my head while I was watching them.
Well, yeah. You must have, because I don't think I've ever looked at a raccoon and thought that looks delicious.
After your coon fest, I bet you do now.
I ate the raccoon. It wasn't bad, but I've never looked at trash pandas and thought, that looks tasty. I mean, as they're
I look at them, I'm like, your fur is warm and your meat's delicious.
Both of those things are true. That's a fact. And we do believe in utilizing everything we can.
And everyone says, yep,
kill.
Crazy fish for her.
A little crazy showing, man.
What a surprise.
My
weekly Wisco was driving around this state. I probably put on 400 miles trying to scout. I was up past Neosho, out past Fort Atkinson. I spent a lot of windshield time this past week. I've gotten people to take turkey hunting for the next three seasons, including producer Jess, who used to work for Raised in Wisco. We're working on something to find for her. And I've also got my own tag. So I was just trying to find turkeys this week. I had rough weather, beautiful weather. I even sat out on the ground for a while and got a little tan. And that was fantastic.
Yes.
And just awesome. This state is so great. I can't even tell you. And I'm really excited because we're going to talk about a recipe to put on the side of your wild turkey or whatever proteins, because Chef Ellie Mae Lawton is here with us and we're going to talk with her about that. We're going to talk about some meat choices from Mike Kretschmer, the meat guy. And we're going to hear about what happened to him in the turkey woods. And Raised in Wisco is awesome. Love having you along.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Spring has sprung in the greatest state in the Union, Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor, the privilege, the joy, the peace, the wonder, the magic of hosting Raised in Wisco. But I do not do this myself.
No.
Danielle, I do not look this good myself. I am not this handsome, this tall.
Do you have a ventriloquist?
I am not this well versed without my sidekick, who's been with me in the outdoors for the better part of 20 years. The lady who puts it all together, has her business together, and lays it down and keeps us on track. Danielle Fairman.
I keep you on track?
I'm not sure of that.
Wow.
You do not do a great job of that.
No,
I'll be honest.
I leave us on a nice, happy, go lucky track. Like
this show is incredibly privileged to have a world-renowned chef.
Yeah,
whoa, simmer down there.
You're world our renowned. World.
This
in our world.
I'm yes, like Lake Country. Wisco well known
is live. You're very well known in Lake Country. In fact, did you want you once appeared in a Fleet Farm circular, didn't you?
No, I
no. Wait,
I thought Gordon Ramsay was coming in the door or something.
I'm trying to get to that point.
Gordon Ramsay's
hit me up, Fleet Farm.
I have not eaten. I have not eaten Gordon Ramsay's food, but I will tell you, I've eaten Chef Ellie Lawton's food, and it is fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, I am.
Thanks, Joel.
Food is one of those things that brings everybody together. Mm-hmm. And to be able to take what is in the outdoors of Wisconsin and put it on a table the way Chef Lawton does is really fantastic. I mean, honestly, I can't. Everything she makes, and she's gotten into the habit, and I don't know how we fooled her into this. She's now the official chef of Raised in Wisco. She's bringing food now every week before we do the show.
Yeah, and this week I'm very impressed.
We're not going to give it away yet.
I know. It's all so
gonna
exciting,
do, I'm going to tell, it is exciting. I'm going to tell the audience, the folks listening, that what we're eating today, I don't think for $1 million you would have guessed that that's what we foraged and put on the table. And it's going to be a fantastic side dish
surprise
to any type of protein that you would eat. Or even if you're not a protein eater, this could be a main course. There's no doubt about
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
To me, Mike Kretschmer's here. Mike Kretschmer, I made a joke about us being the same age. He's actually younger than me, but he was one of the first people who ever took me into the field hunting. My first year hunting at age 38, Mike Kretschmer, do you remember how we met?
I think just through some of the clubs and some of the restaurants and wing nights when you were doing the wing gig for a while there.
Oh,
that was
right.
Fun, just for fun.
I was doing
10-cent wings. You remember those days?
Oh, I
10
do.
10-cent wings.
Oh, those
wings.
I had a chicken wing sauce I invented and I wanted it to try to sell it. It was called the Right Wing Sauce. It's now a national brand with the provider Right Wing Sauce. It was wing sauce and dipping sauce. And in fact, Chef Lawton uses that in some of her recipes, which is fantastic. So we're still around. But there was a time when I think I was like a guest bartender at in an Okachi bar, and I was making wings back in the day.
Good.
That was actually really fun.
That was like when I was like 20. Yeah.
I was making wings, slinging drinks, and that was my first experience really with cooking for people. And I'm going to tell you something, and I want Chef Lawton to chip in on this and tell me if I'm crazy, but one of the most magical things is making food and then watching people enjoy the food you made.
Yeah, it's kind of a sick obsession.
Right.
See, I'm not there. I'm like, oh boy, is this going to taste good?
Well, yeah, but that's all part of it. But Danielle, the food you've made that I've eaten has
Danielle,
been
your stuff
fantastic.
Is fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but I get like, I think it's part of my Italian heritage as well. I get joy out of watching people eat.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. I get home and I'll make food and I don't even end up eating. You just made that? Like, we just put something together? I'm like, yeah, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I just do it. I take a couple bites. Yep, that worked.
Yep.
Secretly, I just bring food along so I can watch you guys eat it. Well, here's my thing. I like to watch people eat my cooking and then give me feedback. And like when I dine with you guys, I know that you'll give me honest feedback. Like Joel will tell me, like, this tastes like garbage.
Ooh, you know? I don't think I've ever said
but I know if something did, or if you're like, ooh, you know what would be really good with this? And you'll give a suggestion. I love to hear feedback. So that's one of my favorite parts.
I'm just disappointed we don't have apple pie at night.
Okay, apple pie was so good.
I only have so many hours.
You slow down, mister.
My birthday is June 17th. My mom would have said,
don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Right?
Okay. While you're sitting over there eating what she cooked, don't complain about what she ate, what she cooked at another
time. But typically there's a good dessert that I've made when he comes because you take some home for your lovely wife.
Yeah, she loved that apple pie. That was dynamite.
We'll have it again soon.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Mike, we're in the middle of turkey season here in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And Mike Kretschmer just finished his season, season two. And I want to know, Mike, drum roll, please. Did you harvest a turkey?
Dun, dun.
No.
Dun.
And you know what?
I cannot believe it. I know you.
Yeah.
I know the spots you hunt.
Yeah.
I know the people you know.
Yeah.
And you are an absolutely fantastic hunter. You're a fantastic deer hunter.
Yeah.
How what I want the folks listening to understand is, and I was blown away by this, only one out of six people who gets a Wisconsin turkey tag harvests a turkey.
Yeah, they say it's like 33%. Yeah. It might even be dropping.
It's less it's than a little bit less. Yeah. I think it was, we talked about it last week, it was 27% maybe, that's something right. Yeah, like that.
Slowly dropping.
Yeah, yeah, so that's incredible.
That is incredible.
And they're everywhere. That's the other.
They are everywhere.
I can't
everywhere.
Stand when people say
no,
that.
They are.
Turkeys are everywhere. They're so easy to kill.
They're not easy to kill.
I could have gotten six with my truck
the last week.
Yes. Okay. Fine. But try to get them in front of the barrel of your gun.
Yeah.
You know where
they're
at.
That part's hard.
They're in backyards, subdivision.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
industrial
feeders.
Parks.
In the ditch.
Yeah.
Hanging out behind McDonald's.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
So here's the thing. If turkeys could smell, you'd never kill one. Mm-hmm. I always say that because their eyesight and their hearing is impeccable, but they don't have a great sense of smell, which is nice for the hunter. Mm-hmm. But what I'll tell you is people don't realize that those folks who don't hunt, you don't realize you've got to scout the turkey. Then you have to have permission for the property the turkeys are on with some frequency.
Yep.
And then turkeys will change their patterns based on the smell. Someone mows the lawn one day.
Or the week.
Mm-hmm.
Snowstorms, weather change,
yes,
from the start to the finish. Right. Like they're clumped up.
The high winds we've had have been changing their patterns.
Them, yeah. The big groups, I'm still seeing them in fields. All of a sudden, it's not two hens and two jakes and a strutter. It's like 15, 20 of them in a group still, some spots.
Yeah, and just, they travel 3 to 4 miles. Right. So it's like, where are you going to project that?
When Mike says two jakes, two hens, and a strutter, what he means, Jake is a young male bird. A hen is a female bird, and a strutter is called a tom, which is an adult bird. And that's what you're going, what you're trying to target. Although it is legal to kill a jake or a bearded hen in the spring. Turkey hunting is one of those things that on any given day can be the easiest hunt of your life. And on any given day can be the absolute hardest.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. It's like I had it dialed in my first spot. I went in last Wednesday and I was like, they're there the 2 days before. I'm like, wait it out, sit there, no birds show up.
Yeah.
Thursday, I stayed in and it was rough. And then I went to my next spot. I went down past the house and
we're going to keep talking about that. But I also want to talk about tactics for when those birds hang up and what you should do if you want to try to get into turkey hunting and haven't been able to be successful at that yet. There are so many resources you don't want to miss out on. This is Raised in Wisco. I cannot wait to talk about food. And that is what I say. This is Raised in Wisco. Over there, the one who said shocking.
Yes.
The one with the laugh that takes over the show. Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco. My name is Joel Clayfish. You can hear Raised in Wisco on all your civic media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. 21 of them. And if you miss it, on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. is when you hear us live. If you miss that, you can listen to all our podcasts. I promise you will laugh.
Yes.
I promise you will also laugh. And you might. There
hear
is
a slim
chance. There is a chance you might learn something too. And I do say about Raised in Wisco at the end of the day, what is Raised in Wisco? Mike Kretschmer, Danielle, Ellie, what is it?
A cooking show.
It's a cooking
Come
show.
Come on, Mike.
You knew it, Mike. Everyone in their vehicle just said it too.
Mike Kretschmer is here. Mike Kretschmer works at Nye's Meats. He's our protein purveyor for the show for Raised in Wisco. Ellie Mae Lawton is our chefery, our official French certified trained chef who brings us recipes every week that help you take what Wisconsin has to offer from the field to the table, whether that's a harvested game animal, whether that's forage. I think it'd blow your mind. Today, we're going to talk about what she foraged, which if somebody had pinned me down a week ago and said, what's the forage item that you're going to put on the table? I never in a million years would have said what we're eating.
It's the one I'm most excited
for. Everybody's driving or at home right now, and I know what they're all saying. What it starts with an M.
Yeah. They're saying morel mushrooms.
You got it.
That's what they're saying.
It's not been warm enough yet for that.
I think so. They've started.
I couldn't look.
Just kidding.
I can't. Yeah. You could drop me in a morel mushroom patch and I couldn't find one.
Yeah. That's, I'm with you. So, next guy, you know what? Walks right behind me and finds five of them. I'm like, ah!
I would walk into the woods and there'd be 1,000 morels on the ground around me and I'd leave and have 5 ticks on me. And that'd be about it.
Oh, yeah.
That would not boost morel.
No.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That it happened. Would not boost morale. The first
that
dad
was,
joke of the
that
show.
That was pretty good.
That and was pretty good. Slacking on dad jokes, so I thought I would get in there and maybe get you going.
Well, I don't know. We've been so busy, there hasn't been much room for it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I've been saving the best dad joke for this next segment.
Oh, right. I'm too excited.
She's so excited right now.
Yeah, use it on Danielle. We did a test run.
I laughed.
Listen, all I gotta say is when you, we may not be talking about mushrooms.
Okay. No, you're doing great.
I'm just trying to be a fun guy, Danielle.
Oh gosh, there it is. There it is.
We really need a scoreboard.
Speaking
so
of that,
far,
we made some morel mushroom brats.
Ooh,
and they're
that's
flying off the ship.
Yeah,
I would imagine. No way.
Yeah, in the retail store. So they've been flying. Those have been going good. And then I made a hot honey this week. That was
a hot honey brat.
Yeah,
that's what I'm so good for that.
I love hot honey.
I don't want to forego the fact that wild turkey is a fantastic protein to turn into sausage.
Yeah.
And you just mix that with some beef tallow or pork fat.
Yeah, you got to cut it a little bit.
You got to cut it. You got to add because it's such a lean meat. But we were talking with Mike about his turkey season this last week. And one of the best hunters I know, and for those of you listening out there, I think this is a lesson for all of us. I hunt a lot. That doesn't make me a great hunter.
Right.
But it makes me a serious hunter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're a serious hunter. Yeah. Danielle and Ellie, you guys are serious hunters.
Right.
That does not mean you're going to win. Mother Nature wins sometimes.
Oh, and
Mike,
absolutely.
Yeah. One of the best hunters I know came out of the woods without a turkey.
For the first time, probably in probably all my years of turkey hunting. Last year, I didn't hunt at all. I didn't even buy my license last year. I was so busy. This year, I'm down in the dumps a little bit. I don't lose when it comes to spring turkeys.
Okay. But let me say this, though. So your pride is hurt a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Bit,
big time. Big time.
But you still have an amazing time when you're out there.
I'm sure you did.
I did a lot of, I've learned this, the camaraderie side of it, of turkey hunting is what I love as well.
Oh, so fantastic.
Like, my son has a tag, obviously, when you guys start on this coming up Wednesday, and when he does too. So I'm more excited to take my kids than I've shot so many. I've pulled 3-4 tags in the spring and I've shot them all. And then, you know, I've done about half and it depends on how busy you get, but I look forward more to take new people and my kids now than
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I also get frustrated when I've watched them 4 days in a row and then I hunt them the next day and they're not there.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
That is what turkeys will do to you. And then a lot of times you'll have that beautiful Tom. He comes out strutting. His face is red, white, and blue as the American flag, baby.
Yep.
And then he's strutting. He gets to 80 yards, 70 yards. And then he hangs up at 70 yards and he gets leery of the decoys. He might be leery of the blind. He might be leery, see a little movement in the wood line where you're hiding. What are the tactics you guys use to get those hung up turkeys to come in? I have a tactic and I want to see if it matches any of yours.
So one of mine that I just learned this year from one of our episodes from last season was that this may sound like something that everyone else does, but I was never thinking of it. You don't need to bring everything out to the blind to turkey hunt. Yes, you'll have your call. You have your snacks, of course. Your gun.
You don't need to bring everything.
Back to food.
Snacks are a priority.
Back to food.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
But you grab a tree branch that fell, and then you just like softly shake the leaves. And that seems to get them turning every single time. Like in all these videos that I watched, the guest from last year said to do that. And now this year we did that with Josh and I took his youngest son, Luke, out to the woods. and they were turning and coming right towards us, but they stopped at the property line, so we couldn't shoot them. But that he did it every time. They stopped.
He brushed the leaves
on the ground.
Really? Yeah, because that.
And then
I've never heard that.
Then they turn and they start walking towards us. I was like, "This is some sorcery stuff you got going on." But
you guys have been turkey hunting forever, Mike and Joel. Have you heard of that? Have you done that?
More so, I've heard of like people taking the sticks and then just like they're flying down.
Oh, sure.
Like if you have like the flags for goose hunting.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. That. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you because I remember the show that we were talking about that on, and the reasoning for that, I think, is when a turkey puffs up and spits and drums. Now, if you're lucky enough to hear the drumming, he's close enough to get a kill shot. Mm-hmm. A drumming, they go, it sounds like.
Funny story.
When they tighten themselves up and their fan goes up, they're using all their muscles at the same time, and it literally makes a noise when they do it. It's almost creepy, actually. But when they do that, their wing fans hit the ground.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm guessing.
And then also for the acorns when they're eating.
Yes. And they found food. Scratch. Mm-hmm. And when they're dusting themselves, they make that sound. So I'm guessing when you make that sound, they think, oh, it's a real other turkey. And they're very social animals.
Wait a minute. That thing hasn't moved for 12 minutes. It's moving. They hear it.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is another subject. I don't know why we don't allow electronic moving decoys for turkeys in Wisconsin. I think that would make it a little easier.
I was thinking something on my way over here. Like, you know, we have six, you know, A through F now, right? For the zones. There's all six periods. We should really look into like making it five periods, have the six for the extra tags and let everybody hunt. If you didn't fill your tag, six period, let the previous seasons hunt.
That's not a bad idea. Hmm. Anybody know any former legislators or lobbyists around who can try to
or a wildlife biologist that's been on?
Is anyone here a marine biologist?
I'm just saying that would be the problem you're going to run to, and I know they're going to say this, is the limited amount of public land with a lot of people on it. But a lot of people hunt private.
You know what?
Maybe they just open it to private only.
I'll tell you what. All you have to do is look at Wisconsin statistics to know that it is absolutely safe to hunt public land in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There are more people in Wisconsin who die in kayaking accidents, ATV accidents. Kayaking was the number one a couple of years ago of accidents.
Is that
people
why you don't like sideways
kayaks? I'm not a huge fan of sideways bananas. And overall, they're very safe.
Yes.
But my point is that when you have more people who get hurt kayaking or riding an ATV than you do in all of the hunting combined in Wisconsin, it's incredibly safe. And our mentor programs prove to us that we can teach people how to get into hunting in a very safe way. Yeah. So what was the thing you said? I've got a story about
my funny story.
I was a little bit younger. I'm like, these things are out here. We're waiting them out. We're sitting there. We literally both fell asleep, leaning back in the blind. We're in the ground blind. And my dad hears it. Like spitting and drumming. He opens his eyes and it's like from me to Noel right outside the blind.
Yeah.
He hits me and my trailer hits me into the side of the blind, knocks me over, and the thing starts running. I jump out the window and I shoot at it twice. It was
Did you get it?
No.
Oh.
So we were laughing so hard. I was sleeping and he hit me.
Knocked me
into the side of the blind.
Oh my gosh.
And it takes off. I'm talking. It was close, and by the time I got the gun, I was probably even 15 yards running, and we were laughing.
Those are the moments right there that I am talking about that never leave your memory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you did get the turkey and mounted the fan, every time you looked at that, you'd think that.
Oh, I have them, and they're all over. Like, I have them, and you're just like, I can still know, like, hey, that one
I
was
can
this.
Tell you the story of that turkey on the wall right there. Yeah. That was my daughter Ella Rose's first turkey of her life, and I can remember every second of that hunt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
I have a story similar to that, though. My friend Ken Kindler, who I hunted with in Austria, fantastic guy. We hunted together in South Africa and Florida, just a fantastic guy. And he wanted to go hunting. And his wife's like, what's all this hunting about? He calls me. He says, would you take my wife, Jill, hunting?
Aww.
She's 45 years old at the time. I said, sure, I will. So we take a little doghouse blind and we're sitting out there. And she says, the first thing she says to me is, I don't know if I can kill it. if it comes out, I don't know if I can kill it.
It's like we all had that thought.
We've all had that moment. I said, that's fine. Then we're going to watch a show. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Yep. Well, that turkey hit the edge of the field about 1,000 yards away, and she's nudging me. Can I shoot it yet? Can I shoot it yet? Can I shoot it yet? And I said, no, he's got to get a lot closer.
If you brought your sniper rifle. Yeah.
And you're in Florida on private land. Yeah. Just to be clear, Ellie doesn't actually think you can use a sniper rifle here in Wisconsin.
I know. Good Lord, I teach hunter safety. That's I know. True. That's
true. So Jill Kindler and I are sitting together in this little doghouse blind, and this turkey's making a sweet time, taking a sweet time to get there. Finally, I said, this turkey is coming to the decoy. So it comes all the way to the decoy. I said, now I want you to put that bead on it and then put the rail right up to you, you know, up to the bottom of the bead. And then you squeeze that trigger till it surprises you, aim at the base of the neck. Mm-hmm. Well, she's like this, and it's one of those little doghouse blinds. I mean, I'm not the smallest guy in the world.
Right.
The two of us barely fit in here. So she's got it like this. I don't realize her elbow is kind of on, like, right in front of my shoulder. No. She says, when should I shoot? I said, go ahead. Boom! She shoots it, flies backwards. Her elbow hits me. I fly backwards. The blind flips up over the top of us and starts blowing. It's 300 yards away. We're laying on our back. On our backs, and you know the first thing everybody says when they shoot, when you take them, they look at you to see if they hit a chicken. Did I kill it? Did I kill it? I said, I don't know. I'm flat on my ass. How do I know if you killed it? And so we're both...
That's hilarious.
We're both rocking back and forth, and we get up, and there's the dead turkey right next to the decoy.
You guys are probably laughing so
and
hard.
I love that.
Was blowing around on Silver Nail Road.
That's hilarious.
So I'm running to try to catch the blind. I'm running out, and it's about to hit the freeway on I-94 and T. And I'm going out of my mind like, oh my gosh, Jill, you killed it. You got the turkey.
That's awesome.
She didn't know what to do. I caught the blind. Oh, I ran back. And Jill Kindler was still on her back on the ground. She couldn't believe it. She killed the turkey.
That's the best story.
Wonderful.
I was going to bring it up. I liked your idea.
Yes.
I'm going to try that one time. I haven't used that. But I don't run a strut or decoy.
I never run a strut.
I run a half strut.
Half strut Jake with a fan is what I run.
Yeah, and I've never had a whole lot of hang-up issues.
I'm telling you, you won't have hang-up issues, but when we come back, we're going to talk about food, which I can't wait, and I'm going to tell you why you don't have hang-up issues. We love having you. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Arguably my favorite part of the show on Raised in Wisco, the time
has come.
It is time. Danielle Fairman is the co-host. My name is Joel Clayfish.
Hello.
We're joined by Mike Kretschmer and Chef Ellie Mae Lawton.
Wow.
The time has come to talk.
We're getting deep into this. This is
food.
Exciting.
I am feeling really dandy tonight.
There it is.
I've been holding that for so long.
But why do you feel dandy tonight?
Oh my gosh.
Hold on.
Holding.
Let's build some suspense.
Oh my gosh. My heart is racing. I felt so good getting that on my shoulders.
We talk about foraging on this show. We talk about proteins that we bring from the field to the table. I was talking to Chef Lawton about what are we going to do tonight, and she came up with an idea, and it blew my mind, and it was fantastic. Something I don't think anybody would have guessed.
So
you could almost like blow it into the wind.
Options.
You could.
Options.
Options.
Could be
options.
Fish.
Okay.
Could
yeah.
Be fish. Opening of fish today.
That's right. Today's the opening of fishing.
Morel. Could be turkey.
asparagus.
Asparagus is starting. I wonder. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but
I saw it.
Okay, just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then watercress, right?
Watercress. And then not ramps because those are illegal. Not, but what's the other thing that's legal? The it's like an onion, but it's legal to forage in Wisconsin.
Yep.
No idea.
It's not called
I know
a
what
ramp.
You're talking
it's
about.
It's called it's like a scallion.
It's like an
basically.
Onion. Yeah. Yeah. Uh huh.
But that is
what it's not. Some of
that is
know.
Not okay. The beauty of the beauty of what you have turned into food that we got to eat before the show is we're talking about something that the vast majority of homeowners curse.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's right
it's the worst
there
thing.
And it's
it hurts
delicious.
My insides.
It's yellow.
And I have contended
green,
my
it's
whole
not a packer.
Life. If this was difficult to grow, it'd be one of the most expensive flowers to buy because I believe it's beautiful and it is the
dandelion.
The dandelion. And we so have excited. I'm so excited too because I gotta tell you something. This is something that would be phenomenal on the side of any wild game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Or throw some wild game on top of it.
That's a great idea as well.
Shredded goose.
You could even
turkey.
You could stew it and make like a cream stew.
A fillet of fish next to it with some mustard sauce.
Oh, wow.
I'm hungry.
I'm getting crazy tonight.
So we ate a dandelion salad. Why don't you deconstruct that for us, first of all, because it's phenomenal and I can't even place all of the things that are in it.
Well, because we're so dandy, I want to talk about dandelions in general before we get into the recipe. Every part of the dandelion, the greens, the root, the seed, the flower is all edible. So most people don't actually know that. It's all edible. The greens and the flower are the most popular parts. So the greens are going to be more of a bitter taste. So that's going to be the green leafy part. Okay.
Okay.
And then the flowers, they're going to be more of like a sweeter, almost like a honey flavor.
Yeah.
You can eat all of it. So we,
that blows my mind.
Yes.
It really does blow my mind, but I cannot tell you how delicious it is.
Yes.
You know what blows my mind? When I see people driving their lawnmowers over dandelions.
You know what would blow my mind? Actually see somebody
those
get off the
dandelion
lawnmower.
Murderers.
Yeah. It's terrible.
What about the true green guy going near lawn blowing over him?
Okay. So people that hear this and they're like, you know what? I have some dandelions. I'm going to go pick some. So first of all, please make sure the dandelions you are picking have not been sprayed by your True Green wonderful folks out there, or there's no pesticides, herbicides, anything put on them. You don't want to eat that. That's not a great dining experience. It's not healthy for you. So stay away from those.
Sure.
Find somewhere that has not been sprayed. I don't spray my yards or my pastures, so I go and pick them. There's
That's
no
fantastic.
Spray, so it's
so you
it's
go out
an
with
organic
a bucket.
Food.
You go out with a bucket and you pick dandelions, essentially.
So I go out with a Ziploc bag and I fill it up and then I take back to my house and I fill that bag up with cold water and I let them soak. So so that's just the flower part of it. If I'm doing greens, I'm going to put them in a separate bag, go back to the house, rinse them off, and I'm going to put them right into a salad.
Okay.
Right there.
Yeah. So there's a couple different things that you can do with the flowers. That's my favorite part. You can put them in the oven 250 degrees for 2 to 3 hours, lay them flat on a baking sheet, and that will dry them up. It's a roasted dandelion flower. So with that, you can turn that into tea. You can store that for later on. You can put it on top of salads. Or
croutons.
You can dip them in egg and breadcrumb and you can fry them in a cast iron pan with butter.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That
sounds delicious.
We need to do that.
My mouth is
Did
watering.
You just spit on your
I
microphone?
Think I spit on my
you
microphone.
Got a little drool
was,
going on. Wow, your butt.
That sounds
absolutely
like
absolutely delicious. You could dip them in ranch and right wing sauce.
Yes, you could.
Oh,
so,
boy.
See, I'm just the dandelion is so exciting to me because you can do so many things with them. So that's how you can roast them. That's how you can pick them and prepare them very easily. So you can. Obviously, you can saute the flowers or you can serve the entire plant just raw. Okay. So either way, saute them, put them in a stir fry.
And I want to be
clear.
Put
them fresh in a salad.
There are not that many. I mean, there are a ton of vegetables or game that can literally go from field to table. I mean, this takes nothing. You can eat this
nothing.
Raw. You could take it out.
I was eating
throw
while
some
I was
vinegar
picking them.
And olive oil on it. And
yeah.
And they're free.
there.
And it's they have a license
free. So they're free.
And there's no shortage.
And none. You can all look online and get the nutritional contents because they are packed with vitamins and minerals.
Well, look at that.
Holy cow. That just blows my
that
mind.
That is handy. Yeah. So I want to talk about the salad that we made tonight, or that I made and you all enjoyed and I watched you eat it. So I started with mixed greens. And because we weren't going to just eat dandelions, that's wonderful, but we need some mixed greens. I did olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and the juice of one lemon right over the greens. I tossed that. This is such a simple recipe. It's so delicious. Salt and pepper to your liking. And then after I washed my flowers, my dandelion flowers, I dried them. So when you wash them, you want to make sure you dry them before you store them or before you add them to a dish. You don't want them sopping with water. And then I tossed that with the greens. And then we added sunflower seeds and some crispy shallots on top.
Delicious.
And, wow. And it was so wonderful. Yes. Great side dish, super nice and light. You can add a protein to it like we talked about earlier. It's just a great light dish.
I thought it was bacon.
you thought the shallots were bacon. And I yeah, we have the meat guy here tonight and we went vegetarian and he was a little disappointed.
And I have to tell you, one of the coolest things about that is this salad could be at a 5-star restaurant.
Thank you.
And everybody would be so impressed, like, oh, these flowers in are edible.
They came out of a horse pasture an hour ago.
Please try it yourself. Please take the information we talk about on this show
and
use
safe.
It because we love having you listen. Mm-hmm. Hunt safe. Have a great time fishing. We'll see you next week on Raised in Whiskey.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.